Before leaving office last month, Illinois Governor George Ryan commuted the sentences of all prisoners on the state's death row. 2 years earlier, the governor imposed a moratorium on executions and appointed a commission to investigate the fairness of the death penalty system. Earlier, we spoke with Scott Turow about serving on the commission and how the experience led him to oppose the death penalty. Mike Waller served on the commission and continues to support the death penalty. Waller is the Lake County State's Attorney. It's the third largest county in Illinois. I asked Waller about the commission's recommendation to limit the kinds of cases eligible for the death penalty.
Well, the majority on the death penalty commission of the governor's commission voted to restrict the number of eligibility factors in Illinois, basically limiting them to five. Probably the single most significant factor that was eliminated by the majority in the commission report was the total elimination of felony murder.
What does that mean practically?
Well, that means a murder committed in the course of a kidnapping or a home invasion or a rape or an abduction of a child would no longer be eligible for the death penalty under Illinois law if the recommendation of the majority, the Death Penalty Commission, was adopted by the legislature.
And do you agree with that recommendation?
No, I voted against that. And what the majority did, in essence, was to remove the most brutal and vicious types of murders from eligibility for potential death penalty. My view is that if you're going to have the death penalty, that you certainly the death penalty should apply to those types of murders. I mean, we had a case of a defendant in Illinois who subsequently was executed, who abducted a young woman and raped her continuously, actually had her in the trunk of his car when he went to court here in Chicago. And it was one of the most brutal and vicious murders, and it was just terrifying for this the poor victim in this case. And under the recommendation of the majority, that would not be a death penalty eligible case. You know, you can also get to the issue of whether you should have a death penalty, and I suspect that maybe the legislature in Illinois is going to debate that now because of what Governor Ryan did. But, you know, if you are going to have a death penalty, in my view, it needs to be applicable to the most horrendous types of murders.
Now, you've prosecuted a lot of capital cases. One of the arguments that is often made against the death penalty is that a lot of people who face the death penalty are poor and they can't afford a really good defense. And therefore, the best case isn't made on their behalf and they're more likely to get convicted. Have you ever tried a case where you could tell that the lawyer defending the person wasn't really doing a very good job, and so convicting the person was kind of a piece of cake for you?
No.
Did you ever walk away with doubts, thinking that you won because of the incompetence of the lawyer who was defending? No.
No. In my county, and I've tried four death penalty cases, the judges have always appointed two qualified, experienced lawyers, which is in conformity with longstanding ABA guidelines. And they've always provided sufficient funds so the defense can hire experts and do whatever investigation is necessary. So my experience in Lake County has been that it's been an even playing field and the sides have been evenly matched. But what happened in Illinois was, as a result of a very intelligent and concerted effort, that all of the cases over the course of the 25 years since the death penalty was reinstituted were all lumped together. And the horror stories that existed with some of the cases, and there certainly were some problem cases, and we study those in detail, as I mentioned, on the Death Penalty Commission, but they were all lumped together with cases where there wasn't any issue as to guilt or innocence, and there wasn't any issue as to competent defense attorney or sufficient funding made available so that the defense could explore defenses and provide a reasonable defense to the case.
How many of the people who you've convicted have actually been executed?
Well, not that I personally prosecuted, none have, but two Lake County cases since the death penalty was reinstituted in 1977 in Illinois have resulted in executions.
And you went to one of those executions?
Right. One of the defendants was convicted and given a death penalty in three states, and he was executed, but he was executed in Ohio. He wasn't executed in Illinois. The other defendant from a Lake County case was executed in Illinois, and I did go to the execution.
Why'd you go?
I went because, as the state's attorney in Lake County, I made the decision, although I was not the state's attorney when he was tried, but I was the state's attorney for most of the time when the case was in litigation. And as you know, the guilty verdict and the imposition of the death penalty is really only the start of the legal process in a death penalty case. So I had made the decisions throughout that this was a case, and I had gone down to what used to be the last step in the capital litigation process is a hearing before the Prisoner Review Board, in which the defendant requests clemency from the governor. I had gone down and testified and presented the case, and I thought, as the state's attorney, the person who was ultimately responsible for the decision, that I should go to the execution. It was certainly not something that I took any pleasure in doing or did for any other reason than I thought it was my responsibility and duty to do it. I can remember clearly the events of that evening, and probably always will.
What kind of execution was it? Electric chair or
injection? Lethal injection.
Many critics of the death penalty, including Scott Turow, feel that the death penalty has never been administered fairly, that there are racial differences, gender differences, class differences, rural versus urban differences, and that all those inequities within the system make it impossible to support the death penalty. Do you agree that there are inequities within how the death penalty is administered, and how does that figure into your opinion on the death penalty, your support of it?
Well, I think there's some differences in different parts of the state as to how the death penalty is administered. That has not affected my support for the death penalty. I'm a state's attorney in a county that's very diverse, and I actually seek the death penalty infrequently. I was the first assistant state's attorney for a number of years before I became a state's attorney, and my predecessor, Fred Foreman, did not seek the death penalty very often. We're very careful. We look for reasons not to seek the death penalty. It's sometimes hard to counter the arguments of the people that are against the death penalty because they sort of lump everything together. I suppose that if the only way to really fairly administer the death penalty is to seek it much more often for every defendant that commits one of these terrible crimes. The fact of the matter is that a lot of times decisions are made not to seek the death penalty in cases that the death penalty could be obtained, which in my view is not necessarily a bad thing, but on the other hand, it's then used by the anti-death penalty people to say, aha, this is not fairly administered. So you're sort of damned if you do and damned if you don't if you're the people making the if you're the person making the decision as far as the death penalty when dealing with the anti-death penalty people. And I don't begrudge the people that are against death penalty. I think there's certainly a very significant issue, and we're probably the only modern industrial Western state that has the death penalty, but that's a issue that needs to be debated in the legislature.
Were you offended or angry when Governor Ryan turned around the death penalty?
Yes, I was. I was offended, and I suppose I was angry in what he did. What he did really undid 25 years of litigation, and like I mentioned, he lumped together all the cases, and he had preceded his decision by, in Illinois we have a process where there's a petition for clemency is filed, and we had hearings in 140 some odd cases this fall, which involved a tremendous amount of work and involved a tremendous amount of heartache and emotional reaction on the part of the family members of the victims. And all this evidence was presented to the Prisoner Review Board, which made recommendations to the governor, and according to the reports, although the specific recommendations are confidential, they recommended that no action or no commutation be taken in the overwhelming majority of the cases. And according to published reports, that they recommended that there be some action taken in fewer than 10 cases. And then Ryan, who had continuously assured everybody that he wasn't going to issue blanket commutation, did. And the way he did it was to hold like a pep rally at Northwestern University, which was televised on TV, And it was just, it was very, very poorly thought out, considered, and the way he did it was, I described it as a travesty of justice, which I think it was and it is.
Is there a part of you that respects the governor for acting on his conscience, even though you disagree with him?
I'm not sure that he, you know, if everything you read about him and see the way he administered things and the way he ran the office of Secretary of State and the way he acted as governor, if a governor like Jim Edgar or Jim Thompson, whose integrity and credibility is unquestioned, had made the decision, I think maybe I would say, okay, I disagree with him, but I certainly respect him. But I will only say that I disagree with George Ryan, and I have no respect for his decision.
Since everybody on death row had their death sentences commuted by Governor Ryan, if you get a case tomorrow that you think should be tried as a capital case, would you go for the death penalty or just not bother?
Well, what I will do and what I have done, and we've actually had one case since then where I made the decision, is to use the same approach that I've always used, which is to thoroughly investigate the facts and circumstances of the case and thoroughly investigate the background of the defendant, to consult with everybody involved in the case and then make a decision. And actually, I did that in a case that after Ryan commuted the sentences of the 167 people on death row, and my decision was not to seek the death penalty. But it's my approach to this is going to be the same as it's always been, is to try to make a reasoned and informed judgment, and it's not just, you know, don't bother, because it's too serious and difficult of a question, and in the appropriate case, I would seek the death penalty.
Attorney General John Ashcroft is insisting that the death penalty be applied in 10 cases in New York, even though the U.S. attorneys there decided to forego the death penalty. And Ashcroft is overturning what they wanted. What's your opinion about how he is handling this, and what do you think the point of it is?
Well, I think he should rely on the judgment of the U.S. attorneys in the districts that made those decisions. They're in much closer contact with the facts of the case and probably the realistic possibility of receiving the death penalty. I think Ashcroft ought to defer to their considered judgment. He obviously has his own agenda.
It seems to you like an agenda, and what do you think the agenda is?
Well, he's obviously very pro-death penalty. I mean, I personally, having made the decision and having had a great deal of experience, don't think that he ought to countermand the considered judgment of the U.S. attorneys that made those decisions. They're not exactly bleeding heart liberals, and you know, they. I'm confident that they looked at all the facts and circumstances and a lot of other issues involved in it and made a reasonable decision. And I think Ashcroft should have gone along with it.
You served on Governor Ryan's commission to reform the death penalty. What do you think is the greatest contribution that commission made?
Well, I think that the report and the issues that we discussed certainly provide a framework for a discussion about all the issues that surround and impact the death penalty, and it'll be the basis for discussion here in Illinois and in other parts of the country. But the fact of the matter is that to the people that are against the death penalty, none of this makes any difference, because the only thing that they want to see happen is not to have a death penalty, which, again, as I've said, I think a couple of times, is a reasonable view to have. And if the legislature in this state decided that we weren't going to have a death penalty, that would be the law, and that would be fine with me. When I first worked as a prosecutor in the 1970s, we didn't have a death penalty, and you know, the system operated fine, and cases were effectively prosecuted, and the lack of a death penalty did not hamstring the system.
Did you prefer working in an environment where you didn't have that on your head, where it wasn't your responsibility to decide whether or not you should call for taking somebody's life?
I wasn't the person making the decisions in those days, but it certainly was easier to be the state's attorney in a state or at a time when we didn't have the death penalty than when we do have the death penalty, because the most difficult decision that a state's attorney or a district attorney or a prosecutor ever has to make is whether or not to seek the death penalty. But that, as far as preferring it, you know, I took an oath to enforce the law, and that's the law of the state of Illinois. So I feel that it's my duty and my obligation to consider that in the appropriate circumstances.
Well, Mike Waller, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, well, thank you.
Mike Waller is the Lake County, Illinois state's attorney. He served on the governor's commission to investigate the fairness of the death penalty system. Earlier, we heard from Scott Turow, who also served on the commission. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. I'm Terry Gross.